We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We just lift our hearts up to you. And we praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for moments to praise you and to love you, to worship you, to honor you. We do so now. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Holy Spirit. Praise you for your presence. Praise you for worship. For this message. Praise you, wonderful Holy Spirit, for your guidance and your conviction. Praise you, Lord. And Lord, as we pray and as we turn to you, we remember, as our president has called this, a National Day of Prayer. We remember all of those been victims of this horrible hurricane and the flood and the damage in Texas, Lord. From Houston to Victoria, Texas, and other places, Lord. As I pray, Lord, people are just hurting or confused. The world has been turned upside down. Oh, Lord, I pray that your mercy will be upon them. Oh, God, that they might feel your touch in a very special way today. I pray for funds for them, Lord, what we might do as individuals here as you lead us and convict us. I pray for the rescuers, Lord, that you might give them rest when they need rest. We pray for all that have organized all the rescue efforts and to help these people just try to bring something, some semblance to their lives again, something to bring them together as a family for the victims, Lord, for those who have died, Lord, comfort their families amidst of their losses, Lord. Those that are wounded and been injured, Lord, we pray for their healing. Lord, those are still missing, Lord. I pray that they may be found healthy and safe. We thank you, Lord. And we just pray for your mercy, Lord. Your mercy, Lord. Be with them. We give you praise and glory. We know, Lord, that when it seems so impossible for us, it's possible for you. So we thank you, Lord. We give you praise in Christ's name. Amen. And amen. God is good. All the time. Are you ready for a long sermon or a short sermon? I'm very flexible today. I can go long. We can go for 2 hours. We can do 20 minutes. What is your pleasure? Should we have a vote? All in favor of a long sermon? You know what? I feel like this go 3 hours today. Can we do that? No. Okay, I got my answer. 2 hours? Okay. Well, thank you for your encouragement. I love the story of this brilliant farm boy. And he's out in the fields working with his dad. His dad lacked education and just was kind of naive of the ways of the world of education. But his son laid it on his dad and said, "Dad," he said, "I've decided to study medicine and study anesthesiology." Again, his dad lacking confidence in his education and perspective, gave his son a word of caution, and he said, "Son," he said, "I wouldn't do that if I were you." He said, "By the time you graduate, they've probably already found a cure for it." Get an anesthesiology cure? No. Well, listen, I tell you, sometimes the my little jokes are not to be actually knee slappers, but just to kind of get our attention. Confidence. What is the key in becoming a confident person? Are you a confident person? Would you call yourself a confident person? This woman had a real problem with her battling her self-confidence. She lacked so much self-esteem that she found it hard to accept the fact that God believed in her when she didn't believe in herself. So she made an appointment with a pastor to talk about her battle with self-confidence. And the pastor said it wasn't long, this is a true story, it wasn't long before he recognized her struggle with her self-esteem, which started when she was just in her childhood, and it deepened in her teen years. Now, at that time, she was in her 30s, and her inner view of herself ran contrary to God's view for her. She couldn't pull it together. It took her months and months and months working with this pastor until finally she had a breakthrough. She recognized the difference between confidence in self and confidence in God. A lack of self-esteem is very common. I don't think there's one person on this planet alive that is totally self-confident. That is not the case. We all, at some form or another, deal with this battle of lack of self-confidence. In fact, that some people deal with it, and others just kind of, it's just a continual issue for them. In fact, many Christians, and there are Christians out there, they know all the cliches. They know all the phrases to say. They say, hey, Jesus loves me. I'm fine. Everything is fine. God's got this. I'm just going to hang in there. But they still lack that inner peace inside of them. So we want to talk about maybe three areas that we need to look at. I think will help us address our own issues of confidence or lack of confidence. And the first one is the word confidence itself. Now, this is probably psychology 101, so I'm going to give you a lot of psychology, but just hang in there with me because it will get better. I'm confident it will be. I'm confident that this sermon is going to go somewhere when we're done. So, confidence, we know what it means. Confidence is what it means, a definition. If you had a dictionary, it means assurance. It means trust. It means sureness. I'm sure of this. I'm sure this is going to happen. It means faith in something. That is the definition of confidence. Confidence really is consistent and it is constant. Confidence. That's how confidence responds to those kind of things. Well, I had a friend of mine, I've talked about him a few times, from Yorkville. He's an engineer, a computer engineer. And Ken has his own business. So I'm not putting a plug in for him. He pretty much wants to retire, but he's been very successful. And this guy is a whiz when it comes to the computers. And so he's my guy because I am so bad on computers. So Ken, I'm glad he loves me unconditionally. Other words, you'd say, my friend's a real idiot when it comes to the computers. So he really helps me a lot. And I'm amazed when I watch Ken work when I have a computer problem. He'll take it, put it on his lap, and then I'll say, Ken, I said, does it bother you that I'm watching you as you work on me? Oh, no. This happens all the time. So he starts going through his progression, his steps. Here's the problems he's working on. I can say, not there. Then he's going someplace else, another step. I watch he's like a computer going on in his head. He's going from this step to the next step, to the next step, to the next step, to the next step. And it just amazes me You know, he's not impressed, but I'm really impressed. You know, our minds in so many ways are like the computers that we use each and every day. Consider this, that in our minds, there's like a data bank process within the tissues of our brains. And what that does, it evolves around consistency, dependability, reliability. These are kind of like the fibers in our memory. So what happens as we go through our confidence or lack of it, you know, we'll filter these things through our memory banks and our heads. And what they do, and they come from our experiences. They come from our experiences, good or bad. You're totally lost. I can see it right in your skin. Really? Where is he going with all of this? That's how our minds work. God created us this way. It's in my head through experience. Maybe it lays dormant for a while. Something triggers it, and it comes back to me. It's all filed in our brains, all of us, in some fashion. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. We are confident, aren't we, in the laws of gravity. Why? Because it's consistent and it's steady. That's the key words for confidence, consistent and steady. Will you please stand up for some that can? Would you stand up for a minute, please? Thank you very much. You are listening. This is kind of like a little exercise to keep us awake. Now, thank you for standing up. Would you please sit down? Not one of you hesitated to sit down, because you were confident through experience that when you sat down in that chair, it would not collapse, that gravity would not bring it down, because time and time again, for a zillion, as long as you've been on this planet, you sat in a chair and you're confident that it wasn't going to unfold and just throw you right on the floor. See where I'm going with this? We don't lay, at least I don't, sleep at night. I don't fall asleep thinking of the marvels of gravity. I just don't, you know, because I'm confident through experience that I'm not going to tumble aimlessly through space due to a lack of gravity. It's consistent. It is there. You with me? Let's do another one. The same with sunrise and sunset does not come to us as a surprise, right? Why? Because we've experienced how it works. We know that the earth revolves around the sun, and it will be consistent because it rises and sets every single day, and we know that. And the same applies to a confidence in our modern technology. Most of you are all into that. We've got the cell phones going. We have text messages. We have Facebook. We have this. We have microwave. We have curling irons, flat screen TVs. All go on by command. Right? I see people and they're looking at their cell phones. They pull them out and they get them because they know that they are going, by and large, that they're going to work. That's what we do. You see, that's how confidence works. It's kind of like experience. You experience these things and it works. It's supposed to work every time. That's confidence. However, we've been talking about a chair. We've been talking about gravity. We've been talking about things. How we see ourselves and others is an entirely different story. It's much more complicated because as people, we are unpredictable. We do some crazy things. We're unpredictable because through experience, things that we experience throughout our lives, we know that certain things would trip our switch. I can say to Fran, I can talk to Fran about something. Maybe I'm thinking that everything is fine. What I said is perfectly fine. It should be harmless. And suddenly it triggers something in her memory, and she's gone in another direction. She's been hurt or whatever. I'm going, what? What's going on? Did I say something wrong? We are complicated. And all of us in our lives, we've all experienced different kinds of things in life. So different things will trip our switches. Different things will make us happy. Some things will make us sad. It just depends on our experiences, what we have gone through. Are you with me so far? This is really a dull sermon, isn't it? I'm getting to my main point, but I'm just trying to set us up and give us an example, some examples of where we are and where we should be. Confidence can be a negative thing. It can be a positive thing. Amen? I don't know if I should go here or not. I get a battle within myself. My left brain is saying yes. My right brain is saying no. But confidence, there we go. See, that's a good example. Okay, you were not supposed to be here today, so Jan, you can be quiet. Okay, no. Our lack of self-confidence creates negative responses, negative thoughts. If parents, close friends, it could be a significant other, whatever it is, if they, during our informative years, if they have been very critical or demonstrate a lack of affirmation, what happens? Most likely we fall into a confidence issue, a problem, and that leads us to self-confidence. Number two, self-confidence. Grandparents, how many grandparents do we have here? I promise from this point on, it's going to get better. Okay, we have all these grandparents, so you know where I'm coming from. I'm a grandparent. I know it's hard to believe, Barb, but I am. And it's interesting because my first granddaughter, Brittany, I spoiled her rotten. I mean, I was really off the charts bad, and Jan can attest to that. But see, I had a theory. And my theory as a psychologist was, listen, these kids grow up in a mean world. They take the hard knocks, so I want her to be as confident as she possibly can be. So Brittany, and since, 7 years old, I was my granddaughter's playmate for all these years. We'd go over to the house. For 2 hours, I'd get lost with Brittany. We'd play all sorts of games. And I'm doing this, and she never lost at anything. I let her win every step of the way, much to her parents, and, oh, please. I said, no, I'm trying to teach her good self-confidence, self-esteem, and so that's what I did. And Brittany, it's interesting, even to this age, now she's 20 years old, hard to believe, they grew up so fast, and this kid's got a world of confidence. I'm not saying because we played Uno and she won all the games, but my point was I was trying to build a little foundation for her confidence level. If you think that's probably not really true, think about, you're wonderful, you're amazing, you're smart, you're beautiful, you're handsome. How do you suppose that's going to help their self-esteem? It does. Or go the other way. You are dumb. You are worthless. You are lazy. You are homely. You are as bad as it gets. How do you suppose that person grows up, how that person is going to respond to things? I can tell you. I can see that. I told, I think it was John or whatever, and I'm not saying this as, oh boy, this guy is so bright or whatever. I can be with children, and I've said this for years, with youth groups, junior highs, or whatever, you give me 10, 15, 20 minutes with them, and I can tell you how they were raised. Because that stuff comes out, and it comes out in a variety of ways. Consistency. Dependability. Be consistent. Mom, dad, parents, be consistent with your children. Hopefully, consistently positive with your children. Tiger Woods. We all know Tiger Woods, right? Well, let's go back when Tiger Woods was Tiger Woods. when he was in his prime and he had good health, whatever, would you say that Tiger Woods had confidence? Absolutely he did. He had confidence when he was 2 years old. Remember, I don't know if you remember this, they had him on a Johnny Carson show when he was about 2 or 3 years old, and he had this little guy putting. You know, so Tiger started at this age, such a small age, to learn how to play the game of golf. And the more he played the game and learned it, the more confidence he came to him. He knew he could make putts, this, that, and the other thing. Tiger Woods becomes a junior champion. In college, he was off the charts good, won everything. So this kid had confidence like you would not believe. So he becomes pro right at what, at 18, 19 years old? He wins after, what, I think, second tournament, he wins the tournament. Unheard of. And so Tiger Woods, when he's over a putt for big dollars, back in those days, he was confident he was going to make that putt. Why? Because that was his experience. He was conditioned through experience to know that I've done this before and I can do it again. You see, that is confidence. That is wonderful. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, number three, Christ-centered confidence. That's where we need to go. Christ-centered confidence. By nature, we are not confident people. By nature, we are not. We were created to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's only through Jesus Christ that we can have authentic, lasting confidence for living this life. A psychologist cannot give that to you. A methodology of counseling cannot give that to you. It's got to be Jesus. I have counseled for years and years and years. And I've read a lot of books on different counseling theories. And I'm not saying that they're all wrong. I'm not saying that. But I've discovered at the end of the day, only Jesus can heal. We can bring people to a certain point and we can help them, but only Jesus Christ can heal. If you look at counseling, and I don't know, people say, oh, boy, he's really rapping counseling. I don't know if you people have a loved one that's a counselor, and that's wonderful, that's great. But it's interesting, if you know, look at surveys of people that go to counseling, and how long does their healing last? That's the key. In Jesus, it will last. Jesus heals, it will last. Jesus has all the power to turn our weakness into strength. That's Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is constant. Jesus is consistent. Jesus is perfect. Jesus is eternal. John, could we have some music here, please? Now we get to our scripture. Now we're getting into the good part. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. Putting our trust in Jesus Christ builds our confidence because he is what? He is grace. He is love. He is power. He is everything. He can meet every need. Then you go to Hebrews 7:23-25. Now there have been many priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. Friends, our confidence is not based on the liar telling us that you're able, but on the truth that he is able. Jesus is able. Able in the Greek word means power. All power and authority is given to who? On heaven and earth, to Jesus. Jesus is all powerful. He receives it all. You know, if you look at this Hebrews passage, and if you look at the whole chapter and others, what it does, it just kind of compares Jesus as our high priest to the Levitical priests of the Old Testament. And I found that to be interesting, because if you look at the example of the priests of the Old Testament, the high priest, he would come, you know, once a year before God and make a plea for and sacrifice for the sins of the nation. But Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price for our sins and the sins of the world. Amen? Isn't that just wonderful to know that Jesus has paid that price? Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is salvation. And Jesus is all we'll ever need. How many do we have here, I'm going to ask this question because I don't want to get in trouble. How many of you here are ex-Catholics? Lady, when she raised her hand, she gave me that stern look like, where are you going with this? I'm going to say this in love, okay? I'm not trying to pick on anyone I'm not trying to do that. But you know, my one son-in-law was raised Catholic. Wonderful man. And he struggled with some things that, like, who forgives sin? I always heard Scott, I said, the Bible that I read says that I don't have to go to a priest. I don't have to go to a person to ask for forgiveness. I can go right to Jesus. Jesus forgives me. And I'm not trying to take away from history. There's some wonderful things about the Catholic tradition that really have vaulted into the Protestant tradition. I'm just saying is this, that as our Hebrew writer was saying, you know, priests are human beings. That priest is a human being. That pastor in the pulpit is a human being. That means that we are destined to die just like anybody else who walks on this planet. Well, why is Jesus our high priest? Because he died and he was resurrected and will die no more. As believers in Jesus Christ, we will one day be resurrected and die no more. I don't have to go to Jan and ask for forgiveness. Could you pray for me and confess to her? I can confess to Jesus. That was the Reformation. That was all about saying we don't have to go to a person. We go right to Jesus, who intercedes for us. Get that? Jesus intercedes for us as I speak. Jesus Christ is interceding for us. He's interceding for us. Remember, I just thought of this. Maybe I shouldn't have thought of it, but I just did. Jesus interceding for us. How many remember the movie Christmas, White Christmas with Bing Crosby? I love that movie. I really do. It's so cool. Okay, remember the beginning of the movie? They're in the service in the wartime, and Danny Kaye gets injures his arm. How did he use that? Anytime from, you know, once they started the partnership, anytime that, I guess that Danny wanted something from Bing, he'd go kind of hold his arm, and of course Bing would feel guilty, and he would give him whatever he wanted. Well, consider this. Jesus Christ is interceding for each and every one of us. What does God see? God sees the scars. God sees the sacrifice. That's what God sees. God sees that Jesus Christ died on that cross for us. What did Jesus say to Thomas? Look. Look. See my hands. You know? They're scars. You know, we're going to be celebrating communion. And communion tells us that Jesus paid that ultimate sacrifice on the cross for us. Does this make any sense to you? To me, it's so profound. Jesus is our advocate before God. He's pleading for us. Though we're saved, we know that. But do we sin? We sin each and every day. In a sense, when we sin, we what? We break covenant with God because God is perfect. The little psychology, God is perfect. So when we sin, we're in an imperfect state. Jesus forgives us. That's why if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. It's so cool to see that. And we should be so confident of knowing that only Jesus can transform, only Jesus can cleanse, only Jesus can erase all of our inconsistencies, all of our shortcomings from our experiences, all of those things from our memory banks, Jesus can erase. If you're going through confidence issues, I can assure you Jesus Christ can help you erase those issues because He can do that. He's the only one that can do that. Amen? You know, I think of the apostles and their boldness. We know the before and after. We know that, you know, we know the story of Peter. We know what happened there. We know that after Jesus was resurrected, we know that when Jesus ascended, we know that the Holy Spirit came upon them. We all know the story. And we know that because of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, they became very confident in the ministry, right? Their boldness was unbelievable. And it wasn't based or rooted in their own self-confidence. I'm a self-confident, so God can use me because that's why I'm self. No, it was rooted in Jesus Christ. It was rooted in their Lord that we had done for them. I was thinking about that, and in my own lack of confidence. You know? Or I think of Barb, when Barb went through her certification. And at the beginning, whatever, talking about that test you'd have to take, which you probably got an A+ on. It's just human nature. Sometimes we need confidence, we need affirmation from someone else. But you know, and Barb knows it, her confidence comes from her Lord. You know, it comes from her Lord. That's our confidence. No matter what you are going through, no matter what it is, Jesus Christ can turn it around. Jesus Christ can turn your life around in a dime. Whatever it is, we just need to, He's just waiting to say, hey, give it to me. Your lack of confidence, give it to me. I can build you up. That's what I do. That's what I do. I think there's one passage that comes to my mind that really sums up what I'm trying to say this morning. And it comes from 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And I'd like to read it with you as we close. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him. Did you catch that? To read that, I'm going to share that passage again. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. So we can approach God with confidence that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him. Someone once said, appropriately, prayer is not a way of overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold of His willingness. Laying hold of His willingness. When we know God's will, when you know it, you say, I know what I know what I know. When we know God's will, when we are in God's will, then we can boldly and confidently lift up our prayers to Him. This happens when we pray in the Spirit. When we pray in the Spirit gives us that inner peace of God's will as revealed through the Word of God. Sometimes I think as Christians, we're too mamby-pamby. We just, I don't know if it's God's will or not. You know, I don't know if He's going to answer that prayer. Please pray for me. Then you hand out your hand. It's like a limp noodle. You know, you have no confidence. You know, somebody can pray, yeah, thanks, nice prayer. God loves you, doesn't love me. You know, you're smart, you love the Lord, you follow the Lord, but He doesn't care about me. What's that all about? You know, we should pray with confidence. We're sitting here, we do, and I know we look at the numbers game. Boy, this church is really, where's all the people? Oh, Lord, please bring the people in. And we pray that rightfully, don't we? We pray for favor. You know, we pray for favor. We pray for favor. However, previous experience, you know, we say another week goes by, we come here thinking this could be the week, and we see the same faces, a couple other here and there from time to time. We say, okay, well, Lord, maybe it's going to be next week. And then maybe it's going to be next week. And then maybe it's going to be next week. Maybe. But that's not really the point. The point is, are we on point with Jesus? Are we saying, Lord, I don't know what You're doing here, but I know I'm faithful, I'm confident, this is Your will. This is Your will for this church to be a force for You. It is Your will for this church to make a difference in the community. It is Your will for this church to use the Holy Spirit for Your glory. It is Your will for this church for them to walk in the Spirit, to walk in the ways of the Spirit. It is Your will. It's not my will. Just read the book of Acts. Read the book of Acts. That should be us. That should be every church. You know, we're all different. I understand that. But certain things stay the same. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're called to be. I've heard people going to church. I'm going too long. Oh, boy, I am. And I've heard people going to church. They say, hey, did you feel the presence of God? No, not really. Church is the dud. It wasn't alive. You know, everything was just, in many ways, that's true. Are we dull? You know, what? Church attendance is going right down the tubes in our culture. Why is that? You know, I'm preaching to myself here, too. That means, I've shared with some of you, we need to elevate the Holy Spirit in this church. We need to elevate the Spirit of God. If Jesus Christ died for us, and God has given us all these gifts, and the power of His Holy Spirit, how are we using it? Not to be crazy and out of touch with the Word of God, but we have not scratched the surface of how the Spirit wants to use us and build us up. You know? I don't know how you feel, but I want to come to a church when I know that God's showing up. I want to come to a church where we have testimonies of miracles. We have testimonies of people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is coming for us sooner than what you think. Because we have testimonies of some of you here that have been touched. We've heard some of those testimonies. People need to hear that. I need to hear that. God wants to hear that from us, to give Him the glory. Oh, I'm bloviating, I know. Oh. I just want you to see how much God wants this church to bring Him glory and be that Acts 2 church. You know what Acts 2 church is? Read it. Read the book of Acts. And read it. If you have questions, you come to me, come to Kathy, to Jan, whatever. Just ask them. Ask us. And don't let anybody tell you that church was for then and not for now. The Holy Spirit is for today. He's for today. Don't let anybody tell you that the gifts of the Spirit were only for, especially the charismatic gifts, were only for back some 2,000 years ago. What those apostles had experienced is still alive and reliable today, as Jesus Christ is. Lord, we give you praise and glory. We thank you, Lord, that we can just come before you and that you hear us. You're so faithful. Even when we blow it, even when I blow it, even when I talk too much or don't say enough or miss a witness here, miss an opportunity there, you give me, you give all of us another chance and then another chance. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, as we come before you in this communion, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you will just bless us. I pray, Lord, that we will just gravitate to the reality of this communion. And we thank you, Lord. And we give you praise and we give you glory. In Jesus' name.